Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It is good to be here tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to be able to worship the Lord and think of His goodness. You know, the cares of this world, they just have to go, don't they? You know, we have a lot to rejoice in. Our God has done so much for us, and we have so much to rejoice in. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. We're going to be going to some scripture pretty soon, but let's just pray here first and ask God to have His way. Oh, praise the Lord. He's been good. And, oh, yes, He knows how to help us, even here tonight. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You again for Thy great mercy, Thy kindnesses, oh Lord, Thy blessings, Lord, Thy word, oh Lord, oh God, this privilege we have to live in, oh Lord, under this new covenant that You have provided for us, Lord. Oh God, where we can know Thee, Lord, where we can walk with Thee, Lord, where we can feel Thy presence, Lord. Oh God, that, oh God, we know that Thou art our God and our Savior, our soon coming King, Lord. Oh Lord, we can talk to You, Lord, and we can come, oh Lord, freely to that throne of grace that You have allowed us to enter into, Lord. We thank You, Jesus. Oh God, we know that without You we could do nothing, Lord. We know that we are just dust of this earth, Lord. And oh God, without You, truly we could do nothing. I pray, oh God, that You would speak to us tonight. Oh God, that You would draw us to that higher ground, Lord. Oh God, that You give us faith, oh Lord, to fight all the battles. Oh God, that come our way, Lord. Oh God, the faith to stand against the wiles of the devil, Lord, and everything else, oh Lord, that he might try to push in front of us, Lord. Oh God, that Thou art mighty, and Thou art our God and our Savior. Oh God, there is nothing too hard for You, and we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Oh, we thank You, God. I pray that You'd be here tonight. I pray that You'd be here with my words, Lord. I pray that You'd lead us, oh God, in the Scripture according to Thy plan, Thy purpose, for You know the needs of Your people, Lord. Oh God, You know, God, exactly what we have need of. And I pray, oh Lord, that You would work. Work in our hearts, oh God. Work in a mighty way, God. Put faith within us, Lord. Faith to withstand against, oh Lord, all the trouble of this world and all the negative things. Oh God, give us faith, Lord. Oh God, to believe in Thee, to have, oh, and see the victory ahead, oh Lord. Oh, we thank You in Jesus' name. We put this into Thy hands. Ask that the devil would be rebuked. Oh, God, that You have no place, God, that You'd have Your way, Lord. Oh, God, that You'd give me the words that I need. Oh, God, and oh, God, that You'd use this message for Thy name's sake. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for the sake of Your people, Lord. Oh, God, help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It is a wonderful thing to be able to draw nigh to God. You know, it is true. We don't know, you know, just how many more opportunities we may yet have. And, you know, here we are, and, you know, the weather is finally quite nice. And praise the Lord, you know, we have a lot to rejoice in. Our God has taken us through a lot of things, a lot of obstacles, a lot of problems, but praise the Lord, you know, the victory is ours in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, with His help, I plan to be talking about faith here tonight, and we'll call this message, "The Just Shall Live by Faith." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Faith is something so precious. And we are living in that time, I do believe, where, you know, we have to fight for our faith. It does seem like that is one thing. And we were warned, you know, Jesus did warn us, when the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith on the earth? We know He warned specifically that faith would be attacked. And here we are, you know, and I just believe we're down to the end. And the things that we are seeing all help us to realize that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And here we are. And praise the Lord. I know we were told the great need to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And, you know, it's again, these are perilous times, and if we ever needed to seek the Lord, draw nigh to Him, and contend for the faith, it is right now. And it just was coming to me, that verse there in Jude, that third verse in the book of Jude, where it says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Of course, if we're contending, for that faith, then it means that we're fighting for it. There's a lot to stand on, and there's a lot to fight for here, because, like I said, faith has been hugely attacked. And, you know, we are living in that time where so many things go, so many things have entered in, where the true faith that was once delivered to the saints is pretty hard to find. Let's just put it that way. You know, people have woven so many other concepts and philosophies into it. God's word has been so downgraded that, you know, it's so watered down that many just don't even know what it truly says. And I fear that from the pulpits, so little of it is being taught, and maybe not at all. I know a lot of times, you know, the ministry stands up here to bring forth some kind of social gospel or some kind of message. You know, it might be edifying, it might be good in some ways, you know, but yet it's not the words of God. And you know, I dare say, you know, so many of those individuals that stand in the pulpits, I dare say that they know not the word of God. In fact, if, you know, they were to check it out, they'd probably have to, you know, cross out a whole bunch of things or tear out a whole bunch of things that they weren't living up to, that didn't matter to them, that weren't part of their thinking, you know, and unless they're able to conform, unless they're able to change. And that's it, you know. We come to the Lord and He begins to work in our lives. And we begin to see our great need. You know, there's so many things that need to be changed. You know, as people, you know, on this earth, you know, to get to that place where we become like the Lord Jesus. We conform to the image of His dear Son. You know, that's a tremendous goal. But that's what He puts within our hearts. That's why He gives us the Holy Ghost, so that, you know, we have something to strive for. It's greater than ourselves. It's bigger than, you know, our little things here in this world. But we have a goal, and that's to overcome the flesh, all these things in the world that try to drive us, you know, negatively, you know, adversely, that cause us to trip up and not walk with the Lord. But the Lord puts it within us, that goal to overcome and to, you know, get through all these obstacles that try to defeat us. And by God's grace and mercy, we can. And praise the Lord, we need faith. Faith to stand fast. Faith to hold to the principles of God. Faith to believe Him. In these times that we live in, yes, you know, we may need faith like never before just to get by. You know, perhaps in this country, for the most part, and I know there are people that are hurting. I know just recently, I know we got a letter from, you know, an individual that was really hurting and in very acute poverty and, you know, great health needs. And, oh, yes, there's others. There's another man in Finland, I believe, that writes to us. And you know, same sort of thing, you know, in almost hopeless conditions. But I'll tell you what, if we have faith in our hearts, then we have hope. That faith that He puts in is going to give us, you know, the strength to stand against all the odds and all the fiery darts that the devil tries to aim at us. You know, there's just so many aspects of life. You know, our health could be attacked. You know, it could be the, you know, a dear loved one. It could be circumstances. It could be financial. All these things of this world, we could be greatly opposed. We could be persecuted. All these things that try to get at us and get us to a place where, you know, our faith could be weakened. But you know, if we can get through these things, in reality, our faith is going to get greater. Because you get through some of those, you know, those big ones, and you realize, wow, God, you took me through that. Oh my, that was amazing. That was a miracle. Lord, you did that. We begin to see what He has done and how He has helped us. You know, that builds our faith so we can go from faith to faith. You know, get a little stronger, you know, get a little mightier in the Word, you know, and just have a little bit more to give because God has given us more faith. Faith to stand, faith to fight, faith to believe God, regardless of how dark the night may seem and how desperate the situations may become. Oh, I just thank the Lord, you know, that He has given us this wonderful privilege of coming before Him and believing Him, realizing that He is able to take us through anything. We can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Praise the Lord. And you know, we know from God's Word, of course, the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the wonderful faith chapter. You know, we read of all those individuals that have gone on before us. And they were faith warriors. They all had faith in common. Without faith, there would have been no way that they could have gotten through all the obstacles that were opposing them, trying to run them over. You know, I mean, we read of an amazing account in the Scripture, feats that people did that, you know, would have been impossible normally. But because they had a little five-letter word deep down in their heart, because they had faith, they were able to overcome those obstacles. And praise the Lord, we can have it too. Praise the Lord, our God is no respecter of persons. And what He has done in the past, He can do for us. Amen. He can give us that kind of faith. Oh, yes, that we can stand against the wiles of the devil, all his cunning, all his devices, all the things that he tries to do to trip us up and to bring us down. I thank God we know from what it tells us in Hebrews 11 chapter that he that cometh to God, that there is an essential element that is necessary, and that is faith. Faith to believe that God is, that God exists, and not only that, faith that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Praise the Lord. Yes, just those little things. For without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that God exists, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So put that together. We believe that He is. And that if we come to Him with that faith, He's going to reward it. If we diligently seek Him with all our heart, He's going to reward that faith. You know, He's going to turn the tables. He's going to bring deliverance. He's going to set us free. He's going to bring salvation. He's going to bring healing. All the things that we need. But there is no way that we're going to get anywhere at all without faith. Faith to please God. Faith to overcome. Praise the Lord. Now it tells us, I'm turning to Hebrews, the 10th chapter here. Reading a few verses here at the very end of this chapter. It tells us in Hebrews 10, verse 35, it says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." See, when we're believing God and when we're standing on His Word, it isn't always that, you know, He answers with the snap of a finger. Oh, there are times when He very quickly comes to our rescue, and thank God, I think we've all been there, and we needed Him desperately, and it was that moment, and He came. Amen. Praise the Lord. But then there are times that perhaps we're going through testing, a trial, the trial of our faith that worketh patience for, you know, God sees exactly, precisely those things that we have need of. And so, there may be these moments that we have need of patience. As it tells us in verse 35, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. So there might be a time where, you know, we're standing on the promises of God and they've not yet just come to pass. But praise the Lord, we can stand, we can believe, and, you know, we wait. We wait for the answers in that circumstance, in those cases. You know, we go forth, we do the will of God, we go forth and do the things that we know in our heart that we need to do. And I believe the Lord can direct us that way. You know, He'll put it within us so that we know, okay, I need to do this today and that. And, you know, there may be a list of things that He puts within us to know that, you know, are things that God would have us to do for that moment, for that day. But then, yes, to receive the things that are deep within, to receive the promise, we wait. And there is a promise that same Jesus that ascended into the heavens, that the disciples watched go into the heavens, is coming back in like manner as He went into the heavens. And that is a promise that Jesus gave them, that He would return, that He would come again, that He would receive them unto Himself, that where He was, there we would be also. And here it tells us in verse 37, it says, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry." That's the promise of the Lord. And we don't know the day or the hour. You know, we might be pretty desperate at sometimes to see Him, to have all these things over with and all that. But we stand on that promise. Oh, yes, and we know that it is going to happen. It is a surety. It will happen one of these days. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry." Then it goes on to say in verse 38, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." And there couldn't be anything sadder than that. You know, our walk with the Lord initially must start with faith. Faith that drew us to God. Faith that helped us to reach out and respond to the gospel and to believe the gospel, to obey the gospel. But, you know, it is true, our faith does, it is tried. You know, we go through, you know, moments that are not so easy. And sometimes people, during those harder moments, get discouraged and draw back. Quit even. Forget. Think it's too hard. But the Lord is looking for a people that, in spite of hardships, in spite of things that you can't understand, in spite of answers not coming instantly. God is looking for a people that still will believe Him and still will rest in His promises and still walk by faith. So yes, it says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Oh, yes, you don't want to draw back. You want to keep on going regardless of how difficult the road may seem, how bumpy it may be, how muddy it may be, how impossible it may seem. Still, we know the Lord is with us. He knows how to take us through. He knows how to get us down the road, past those obstacles, past those trials, past those tests. And by His grace, verse 39, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Praise the Lord. That's that, you know, persistent faith that doesn't give up, that doesn't quit, that doesn't draw back, but continues to believe even to the saving of the soul. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And of course, we know that, you know, faith is not something that you can touch. It's not tangible in that way. It's not something that you see with your eyes. But it's something that you believe in your heart. It's something that you hope for. It's something that you're looking for. And something that can become a reality when the Lord brings it forth. And that's what we rest in. That faith that He puts within our heart to believe Him. Oh, yes. That substance that we see in our heart, in our mind. You know, the substance of things that are hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Faith, the thing that by which the elders obtained a good report. Not one of them could have had a good report. Not one of them could have made it until the end, except that they had faith. That was a thing that kept them. All faith, yes, it tells us in verse 3 of Hebrews 11, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Praise the Lord called this world out of nothingness. He put it together. It was by His words that it came forth. And that's how mighty our God is, for He can speak it and it will happen. And praise the Lord, that's how the worlds were framed. It was by the Word of God, the spoken Word of God. Let it be, and so it was. And praise the Lord, those that have walked with God, they walked by faith. Oh yes, you know, we can't read a textbook to explain faith. No, this is something in our heart that God puts within us, that we can believe God for the things that are not seen, that the things that we cannot touch, things that, you know, we hope for and we long for, we believe God for. But it's not because, yes, we took it, you know, a class, you know, and some scholarly philosopher, you know, taught, you know, on that subject, and therefore we have faith. No, it's something that God puts within us so that we can believe Him no matter what is going on. Oh, yes, no matter what trial or test is in front of us. Oh, yes, you know, no matter, oh, yes, how dark the night may seem, that faith that He puts within us, oh, it's a wonderful thing that we can have faith in God and all of these individuals that are considered here in this 11th chapter of Hebrews all had faith in common. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be talking a little bit about Moses here. for just a few minutes. So let's just read a little bit here in Hebrews 11. Let's read the account there that pertains to Moses. Well, there are so many that walked by faith here, but let's look at verse 23, where it begins to speak particularly about the faith of Moses, the faith of his parents, too, I would say, in this case. It says in verse 23, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the wonderful accomplishments that are done because of faith. Oh, just that little five-letter word that God puts within us. And, you know, that faith, you know, Moses, his life could have been so much different. In fact, let's just look a little bit at some details here concerning Moses. Tells us here in the first chapter of Exodus the times that existed when Moses was born. And, you know, it makes it known there in Exodus, this first chapter, verse 8, that, you know, the time had come when there was a new king that came upon the scene, and he knew not Joseph. A little removed from the favor that Joseph was given by Pharaoh when he was, you know, living, and all those things in his life came to pass. And this king who came into the scene, this Pharaoh, had something in his heart that was very aggravating, and because he had fear. He looked at how God was blessing these Hebrew people and how they were multiplying, and fear attacked him, shall we say. And so in order to, he thought, you know, make sure that the Hebrews didn't overtake them in times of war, that he would have to try to put setbacks in their way so that they wouldn't be so prosperous, so they wouldn't be so blessed, so they wouldn't be multiplying so fast, because, yes, he was afraid that they were going to, you know, overwhelm them, and they were going to take over, and if there was a war in Egypt, well, the Hebrews would fight against them. So what did he do? He set taskmasters over them, and, you know, to afflict them, to make their burdens greater, and to cause them to build treasure cities, it tells us in verse 11, Pithom and Ramses. And, you know, hard labor. And I guess, you know, he thought he would tire them out so badly that, you know, that their lives would be affected. But it tells us in verse 12, "But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel." And so, you know, what did they do? They figured they had to impose more hardship upon them. And they made their lives more bitter by making them, you know, to find their own mortar and their own brick and all the other things that, you know, were necessary for them to help with these treasure cities that they had to help build. But yet, you know, it seems that that wasn't doing it for Pharaoh. They were still being prospered, and they were still growing, they were still multiplying. And so, you know, Pharaoh's next scheme was that he would have the Hebrew midwives, you know, kill the baby boys. If they delivered a baby boy, they then told the midwives to kill the baby boys. Oh, the baby girls could live, but, you know, if it's a son, then kill him. But God put faith within these midwives' hearts. It tells us in verse 17 here in Exodus 1, "But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men's children alive." That's faith. They had a natural fear of God, and in spite of what the king had decreed, they opposed him. They saved the boy children, the men children alive. And God blessed them. But Pharaoh knew that, you know, there had to be something else. He seemed very determined that, you know, these Hebrew people weren't going to multiply. And so he made another decree. And that was the decree that every son that is born, he shall cast into the river, and every daughter he shall save alive. So now they have this imposed upon them. And as we go into chapter 2 of Exodus, we realize that there was a man of the house of Levi. He took to wife a daughter of Levi, and their names were Amram and Jochebed. And it tells us in verse 2, "The woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." And what I see in these descriptions here is faith. Here we have this Levi woman, you know, and she has this child. And the king has made this decree that all the sons must be cast into the river. But she has faith in her heart. And so for 3 months, she hid that boy, that little baby boy. But then, obviously, it was apparent that she couldn't hide him any longer. And God put something else in her heart. And all these actions that she is doing, they're all acts of faith. It says in verse 3, "In which she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flames by the river's brink." And what a marvel that is. You know, I'm sure God put that within her to know what to do. It's such a predicament. You know, babies cry. You know, and you know, if somebody had hurt her child, you know, and they didn't fear God, you know, they could have killed her child. But, you know, she's trusting the Lord. She's acting on faith. So she made this little ark of bulrushes. And, you know, she made it so it was water repellent, you could say. She daubed it with slime and with pitch so that you could actually put it in the river. And that's what she did. She laid it down by the flames, by the river's brink, and I assumed that it wasn't very deep there, but, you know, I obviously could float and be there among the flags that were growing there, you know, the marsh reeds and all, the bulrushes, maybe cattails. And then she had his sister stand afar off to witness what would happen next. And we know the story. The daughter of Pharaoh came by, and she was going to bathe there in the waters. Her maidens were with her, and God had the child that was in the bulrushes, that little ark in the bulrushes, to cry. You know, she came to that place. She saw this little basket, you could say, floating there in the water among the flags, and the child wept. And, you know, it was all an act of God, because God put compassion in her heart for this child. She realized it was one of the Hebrew children, but God put something within this woman. And, you know, Miriam, the older sister, was nearby and obviously approached this Pharaoh's daughter and asked if she could find a nurse for this child. And the woman thought that was, you know, a needful thing. So I love how it all works out. Miriam went to get her own mother to nurse the child. And, you know, Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take the child away to the mother once she came and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. So she got to take her baby and nurse that child, and it sounds like she was paid to do so. And scripture tells us, and the woman took the child and nursed it. And, you know, it must have been something, because, again, what I see is faith in this woman, Jochebed. You know, just this wonderful faith that is in her heart, because, you know, obviously she didn't have a long time to nourish this child, to teach it, to instruct it in the ways of God. But, you know, these months and probably a few years here, 2-3 years, I would assume maybe 4, you know, I'm sure she put within this child everything that came to her pertaining to the ways of God. It tells us, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. So what a marvel this whole story is. What a beautiful account of a woman's faith that dared to believe God in spite of all the adverse possibilities that she was facing. I think of these times that we live in right now. We are living in times that seem to be getting tougher in so many ways. We have seen some strong hands come down, so to speak, in many ways. You know, people are not quite the same as in their thinking as I would say 40 years ago. I would say 20 years ago, big change in 10 years. I know Brother Samuel wrote in his newsletter about some of the millennial thinking and how some of them are, you know, proposing in their heart, they're purposing in their heart that, you know, they're not going to have children. They see, you know, the world as it is, and you know, they are afraid to bring a child into this world, or greatly opposed to it for one whatever reason. I know I get this paper from the co-op in Madison, and this is a couple months ago or so, but I remember this ad that really caught my eye, and it said, millennials are not having children, and neither should your cats and dogs. And oh my, you know, I millennials are not having children. Well, okay, that's very interesting. If, you know, millennials don't have children, pretty soon there'll be no people. But anyway, you know, I have come to realize that, you know, people are thinking that way. And they're actually, you know, declaring in their heart that they're not going to have children. They're going with that kind of thinking and trying to gather others to, you know, sign some kind of contract or some kind of, you know, thing where, you know, they'll purpose in their heart to not have children. And we know that, you know, already in places like China, that they've made decrees, you know, they've forbidden families to have more than 2 children, maybe more than 1 child. You know, and you know, that strong arm has been, you know, very much apparent in these last days. And we see so many other things. Of course, we know, you know, that abortion is something, oh yes, that continues to go on, and so many people have been destroyed through that horrendous act of abortion in this world. But we know that Jesus warned of this kind of time. In the 23rd chapter of Luke, it tells us in verse 27, and here he is, he's going to the cross. He's on the way to the cross. It tells us in verse 27, and there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But verse 28 says, but Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren in the wombs that never bare, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And it's so amazing. Jesus said this as he was on his way to Calvary there. And how it is right now in this time period that we live in, that is becoming current thinking. That, you know, it would actually be uttered, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear and the paps which never gave suck. And then that 30th verse helps us to know that then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. So, in other words, this is getting down to the time that Jesus Christ will again return to this world, the end of the world, when all of this is finalized. And he made mention, if they do these things in a green tree, in other words, when times are pretty good, when, you know, things are fairly prosperous, if they would decree such a thing when things are yet good, what shall be done in the dry? In other words, if there was a time of famine, a pestilence, a disease, or whatever all, it would be dry. What will they decree in such a time as that? Oh, so much to think about. But we are living in this kind of time right now, and it's not too different from these times that Moses was brought into the world, that faith had Amram and Jochebed had, you know, for this child, you know, to live, to survive, was an amazing thing at that moment when that decree had been made that every son that would be born should be cast into the river. But I love how that faith saved this baby boy. And we know that he was raised as Pharaoh's daughter, and we know that he did many feats. You know, he was up there among the Egyptians. You know, we get that understanding when we look at the 7th chapter of Acts. And I'm just going to just kind of read some of these scriptures here to give us some background. But Stephen, when he was testifying before the high priest, he gave this wonderful account in the 7th chapter of Acts. And it tells us in verse 20 here, Acts 7, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when they cast out, when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. Verse 22 gives us more understanding as far as Moses' background as a young man here. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brother would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And so just pausing here a moment, we see that next account in Exodus 2 when, you know, he's grown. And he went out to be among his brethren. And I'm sure God was dealing with Moses in his heart. And, you know, obviously he'd already had accomplishments. You know, as it tells us there in Acts 7, he was, you know, learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And he was mighty in words and in deeds. So, you know, he had feats that he had already accomplished. You know, military feats, I think, perhaps indeed, too. Even, I believe, history records that in some ways, in some of the records. But anyway, here it is, that account here in Exodus 2. It came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. It must have been really something. He maybe, you know, didn't really fully realize until he went out among them and saw how they were being treated and abused, you know, used as slaves there in the land of Egypt. And, you know, it came within his heart, well, those are my people. And it says, as he was out there, he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. So, you know, interesting story. And it tells us, that, you know, from what we can read in Acts 7, that, you know, it was in his heart to be a deliverer. But it wasn't time yet. God was going to use Moses in a mighty way, as we know from the scripture, but it wasn't time yet. And at this point, he is rejected. You know, when the Hebrews, you know, they heard what Moses had done, but that didn't give him favor. You know, that next day when he saw two Hebrews fighting against each other and he tried to break up their argument somehow, you know, they came against him. And Moses realized that which he had done the other day was known. And obviously Pharaoh knew what had happened. It says, now when Pharaoh heard this thing, verse 15, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Well, praise the Lord. We know the story continues. For the story of Moses is a story of faith. And in that third chapter of Exodus, as the years have gone by, you know, Moses' life, you know, you have the first 40 years there in Egypt, and then you've got 40 years while he was in the desert of Midian there as keeping the sheep that his father-in-law owned. And, you know, in this third chapter of Exodus, we find that the Lord calls Moses. Oh my, what a wonderful day it is when the Lord makes himself known unto us. You know, I'm sure what Jochebed had done in those few early days that she had with him, as she tried to instill as much of God's word in his heart as was possible for that short time. That was wonderful. It gave, you know, Moses that background down inside. I'm sure the years went by and he looked like an Egyptian and he acted like an Egyptian and he was doing the work of an Egyptian and all. And yet, there was something in his heart called faith that God had instilled there. I would say that it really did come alive until God called him there in the desert of Midian, there, the backside of God, of the mountain of God, Mount Horeb. And praise the Lord called him and gave him an assignment. And you know, Moses was then, at that point, able to go back to Egypt and lead his people out. But as I said, what trying times those were. There were so many things that had to be overcome back in that time period. And as we live our lives here in this world today, we don't know what may be ahead of us. We don't know what tomorrow may hold by any means. But there is something that we do know. We have a God that stays with his people. A God that has great mercy towards us. A God that comes to us in our times of need. A God who does not shrink from his promises and from his word. A God that is faithful, who is true, that, you know, said he would be with us until the end of the world. And so it will be. Praise the Lord. And thank God if he has put faith in our hearts. Because no matter what trials and what events may be on our path, and what time we have left on this earth, we know that we have a God that will be with us, a God who will help us, a God who will deliver us out of trouble and set us free when we need to be delivered. Praise the Lord. A God who speaks and it comes to pass. And at this point, I'd like to go to one of the minor prophets. I'd like to go to Habakkuk. And I'd like to just read a little bit here, because there's a very interesting passage here that I believe pertains to the time that we now live in, or the near to the time that could easily be coming to pass in this world today. And here we have a vision that God gave Habakkuk here in the second chapter of Habakkuk. It tells us in verse 1 here, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. And I'm sure they would carry it on. The runners would bring it to the desired end of these tables that he would write it out on. And then it goes on to say in verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So this vision that God was given him in this second chapter was for an appointed time. It wasn't for that moment, but it was going to speak. It was going to come to pass. It would not tarry, and it was to be waited for, because yes, there was going to be that time when it would surely come to pass and not tarry. And then verse 4. Let's look at verse 4. It says, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. Well, we've been talking about faith. And here we're going to go into a description of a time that I believe is describing the Antichrist. And the description of verse 4, it talks about a soul that's full of pride, that's lifted up. It's not upright. It's, you know, in opposition to the ways of God. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. But I love the second part of this verse. But the just shall live by his faith. Now, let's just keep that thought in mind. Because, as I said, I believe we are seeing things unfold before our eyes. I believe the time is at hand. And, you know, we don't yet know, you know, specifically who the Antichrist might be. There are many Antichrists in this world right now, and we are seeing the spirit of Antichrist all over the place. But here's the description here in verse 5. Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Now, this sounds like an account of this end time with one world and one people and all the things, one religion, all the things that they're trying to put together in the scheme of things. And specifically, a proud man that has this in his heart, so lifted up with himself. He's got this desire as hell, and as death, it says, it cannot be satisfied. It's just so overwhelming in him that he's going to go to all means to fulfill it. And what is he trying to do? He's trying to gather all nations unto himself and heap to himself all people. It says in verse 6, shall not all these take up a parable against him, in a taunting proverb against him, and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his? How long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay? This attitude, this spirit that has risen up here, you know, to take those things that are not his. Oh, yes, to claim things that are not lawfully his to claim. It says in verse 7, shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee? And thou shalt be for booties unto them. In other words, plunder. And talking about this individual, because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. Well, I'll tell you what, we are living in a time of increasing violence. Of increasing bloodshed. I just recently saw this clip pertaining to Seattle. And I've been to Seattle a few times. And, you know, the last time I was there, yes, we did talk to homeless people. And, you know, we did witness to them. In fact, I prayed with a woman, actually, who was homeless, sitting in that park that was kind of designated, I guess, in a way for them. At least there were a bunch of them in that area. But it was still pretty orderly and neat. There wasn't debris all over the place. And you know, you felt safe. You felt pretty safe there in Seattle at that time. But what has happened is that the homeless situation has become so severe in Seattle that these people are gathered all over the place. They've got little tents in some cases that they put up in front of shops and, you know, other places that you wouldn't normally see, and they're all over the place. Their debris is all over the place. They urinate on the streets and wherever, and you know, they're just here and there and all over. And the authorities try to arrest them and maybe even bring them in, but the city council or the people in charge in Seattle are of a different mindset. They're socialists. And they will not do anything to keep these people away from the streets. They will not make arrests or allow the arrests to lead them to prison, or if before a couple days they're soon released. And that has become a reality in this city. I've got witnesses who have seen it for themselves. This clip talks about how Seattle is dying. In other cities on that coast, Portland, I understand, is very similar, and other cities in California. And what is behind all of this? What I understand, it's drugs. These people are addicted in a bad way, and nobody is helping them in such a way that they could be delivered and set free, and that drug is just ruining their lives. And then, yes, I read another account just recently about a city called Chicago. And yes, there also, they are not enforcing laws to keep the gangs out of the streets, to keep drugs down, and to prevent such even. It's a free city. It's kind of known that you can go to Chicago and be high on drugs and nobody's going to disturb you. In fact, they have sent a lot of their people into other areas, including Madison, perhaps in Beaver Dam, all over. They've spread them out, I'm sure, in Milwaukee. This is a world that we're living in. It's changing. Things have changed drastically. People don't think the same. These millennials don't know the Lord. They don't fear God. You can tell it. You can see that deadness in their person, in their eyes. Oh, yes, and they've got another way of thinking. They're socialists. They're communists. They want to bring down capitalism. That's the world that we're living in. It's a world that is getting ripe for this Antichrist. Oh, that doesn't care if he spoils many nations. Oh, yes, because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee. Because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. Oh, I tell you what, God has helped us in so many ways. I mean, we have seen things in our own little Beaver Dam that were alarming. Yes, we know that, there was a man that had, he was building bombs, it seems, in his own little apartment. And one day, there was an explosion, wasn't there? And praise the Lord, it could have been so much worse because, what I've heard is that he had enough explosives in his garage and all over the place. If they all would have gone off, they could have taken care of several city blocks in this city. But God has helped us, hasn't He? And how we need the Lord in these times that we live in. Oh, yes, when they are trying to manipulate the weather, bring all kinds of things into the scene where they're trying to engineer disease and, change, people, mix them with robots if they could or whatever. Oh, I mean, these are times like no other. And it says in verse 9 here in Habakkuk, the second chapter, woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to all thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. Oh, I tell you what, God's day is coming. All those that may try to hide, they may try to set their nest on high so they can, escape all the calamities of this world. Maybe find their little utopia someplace and be delivered from the power of evil. Oh, a lot of people, yes, trying to escape to New Zealand and other places which, they deem to be, better environment and, less pollution and all that sort of thing. But is it going to work? Oh no, thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people. God has seen it. God has witnessed all of this and has sinned against thy soul. I like how it says in verse 11, for the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and established a city by iniquity. Oh yes, woe be to such an individual. Woe be to such a people. You know, the stones themselves crying out of the wall as witnesses of what is being done, the atrocities, the blood that is being shed, the violence in the land, all those things in the heart that are evil and wrong, all the thinking. Oh yes, there are witnesses. Oh yes, oh, even the stone crying out of the wall, even the beam out of the timber answering it. Oh, what they have seen, what the walls have witnessed, what the stones have seen, what God Almighty knows, what He has recorded. Oh, woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and established a city by iniquity. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity? All the things that people do for naught, the people, things that people do for vanity, they weary themselves doing things that are of nothingness. Oh, just wearying themselves for very vanity. To make themselves a little better, to have a little more of this or that. All of those things that people do to be highly esteemed perhaps by the fellow people. Oh, and that laboring in the very fire. But it's not of the Lord of hosts. It says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Oh, praise the Lord, in spite of all the sin in this world, all the corruption, all the abominations, all these things that tend to make us sick, in spite of it, oh yes, there is a God. Oh yes, and He has seen all that has happened. And praise the Lord, in spite of it, our God made a way that we could escape His wrath, that we could escape His judgment, that we could be set free from the perils of this world. Oh, we wouldn't have to be caught in the traps that people are caught into, the sin, oh, the abomination, oh, the nastiness, oh, the drunkenness. Oh, it goes on to talk about the drunkenness. Woe be unto them that giveth his neighbor drink. Oh, yes, how many people live by the bottle? Oh, yes, how many people? Oh, I think it's their way out, perhaps. But the Lord has made a way. Oh, yes, He has a people that He has called, that He has reserved for Himself. He has a remnant, oh yes, that will not bow their knees to Baal. Oh yes, oh, that will not kiss that image, will not bend the knee, in spite of all the things that are going on in this world. Oh, it may get down to that point. Oh yes, well, they will try to enforce a mark. We are done, Mary Todd. We are seeing the fulfillment. Oh, and things coming to pass before our very eyes. People that are literally taking a mark in their hand, or maybe even in their forehead. Here we are. This time, yes, this taunting proverb, yes, that Habakkuk is bringing forth here, that the Lord has given him for that time, that appointed time, at the end, it shall speak. But praise the Lord. You know, in spite of all these things that are coming to pass, the Lord puts within His people that wonderful thing called faith. what's going to get us through these hard times? What's going to get us through this life? It's pretty tough right now. Oh, there's so many things that are happening right at this moment. What's going to get us through? It's got to be our faith that God put within our hearts. Oh, praise the Lord. As it tells us here in Habakkuk, this description, in the midst of it, but the just shall live by his faith. Oh, praise the Lord. In the midst of all these calamities, these disasters, these horrendous thinking, we might not be able to buy or sell. Who knows what is coming upon this earth? But yet, the just shall live by his faith. That's what we hold on to. The promises of God, that which he has put within us. Oh yes, those promises that don't fail. Those promises that are yea and amen. Oh, praise the Lord from the Almighty One. The Lord that spoke this world into existence. And so it was. Oh, the Lord that has declared that he cannot lie. Oh, yes, and those things which he has promised are yea and amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Therefore we know, as it tells us in Psalms 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. For the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. Oh, yes, this world is coming to an end as it comes to a halt. Even though the mountains might shake with the swelling thereof, praise the Lord, God knows how to preserve his people. Oh, yes. So that we don't have to fear. We don't have to tremble. We know that we have a God who's able to take us through, a God who is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Oh, praise the Lord, that's the God we serve. That was the God that Moses served. That was the God that his mother Jochebed, his father Amram served. Oh, yes, they knew that in spite of all the edicts of men, all the decrees and all the proclamations, they could trust their God and God would make a way. Oh, praise the Lord. So here we are, not knowing what tomorrow may hold, but praise the Lord, if he's put faith in our hearts, we've got something to stand on. We've got something to rest in. Oh, yes, we can go forward. We can believe God in spite of what it looks like. Oh, in spite of what's happening in this world. Because the just shall live by his faith. Oh, yes. Our heart is right with God. If we repented and turned our life over to God, if we obeyed his command to be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord, we can live by that faith that he puts deep within, that faith that we hold on to, regardless of how, that tempest may be roaring. How hard the mountains may be shaking. Oh, how difficult the edicts of man may be. And how hopeless it may seem on the surface. Oh, we've got a God who can do all things, who can carry us through, who can make a way. But praise the Lord, we don't want to draw back. Oh no, we must hang on to faith. For God's people, the just, shall live by faith. And praise the Lord, it's that faith that will take us through these storms of life, these fiery trials, all the things that could be happening in this world. Faith will take us through. Praise the Lord. That's what we hang on to. Faith that he put within our hearts so that we can please God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's hang on to our faith. Let's never draw back. But let's, oh, yes. Oh, be encouraged. Let that faith grow. Oh, yes, so that we can believe God regardless of how that storm might be brewing in this world. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. We do praise you, God. We do worship you, Lord. We ask, oh, Lord, that you would put that faith deep within us, Lord. Oh, God, that you bind the strong man. Oh, God, that you work within us, oh, Lord. Enable us. Carry us through, oh, God. Give us that faith that we need, oh, Lord. Oh, God, to fight the attempts of the enemy, Lord. Oh, God, to go through this world, oh, Lord, in victory. Oh, Lord, by thy might and by thy power. Oh, yes, thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing a chorus in closing, and it seems appropriate to sing number 78 in the chorus book. You may not even need to go there. I think we all know it pretty well. Keep on walking by faith, number 78. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. No, he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you're dismissed under prayer in Jesus' name.